guys, welcome to the Twiniversity Podcast, a show created exclusively for parents of twins. I'm your host, Natalie Diaz. I am a mom of twins. I am also the Twiniversity founder, and I am the best-selling author of the book, What to Do When You're Having Two. Our goal at Twiniversity is to make sure that you always feel connected, we laugh at the little things, and we really do get to teach you a few tricks along the way. And that is what we hope this podcast is about to do. So welcome to Twiniversity. Kids, I envy you. I so envy you because, truth be told, your options have never been better with Dr. Brown's Options Plus wide neck bottles. From nipple to base, it eases the transition from breast to bottle and back again. Each nipple is specifically engineered to offer the same consistent natural flow so that you and your twins know what to expect at every feeding. The new breast-like nipple shape is correctly contoured for a proper latch and a more natural bottle feeding experience. So together with the anti-colic internal vent system, your twins will feed with minimal fuss. And when your babies are no longer gassy, remove the venting system and continue to use the Options Plus bottle without the extra parts. Brilliant! It really is brilliant. You guys are so lucky. So for more information on the Dr. Brown's Options Plus bottle, visit drbrownsbaby.com. Jewel.
Nat?
This was one of the most confusing podcasts that we ever have to title because the story is told by twin mom Marissa.
Okay.
And she's kind of still in the trenches. So okay. Her babies are still little. Well, in my standards, they're still little. To her, they probably feel like they're 400 years old. I don't even think they've hit a year. She's still in it.
Okay.
But what we're going to talk about today is the evolution to freedom. And maybe that's what we title this. I don't know. If for those of you that are listening, just go look and see what this podcast was titled because we still don't know. It's going to be a surprise. It's
pretty
a surprise
sure
to us.
They won't be listening unless they've read the title.
You never know. Some people just play the next episode. It just rolls in. If you subscribe, it literally just keeps playing.
I mean, I judge. Sometimes I don't listen.
I listen to everything.
If I don't think it's interesting.
If it's part of a series, I'm listening to it.
Okay.
That's how it goes. I just blindly listen. Or I don't know. Is it definitely listen? That's horrible. Anyway. I have no idea. But Marissa was talking about how, like, when she found out that she was having twins, she had kind of this very, like, what am I going to do? How am I going to do this? I guess I can't do things. And little by little, she kind of ventured out into the universe and took baby steps figuring out how she's going to make these things happen. Like, an important thing for her was that she wanted to go to church with her 20s.
Okay.
Do you hear the helicopters overhead right now?
Yes, I do.
Welcome to Manhattan, everybody. That could be a protest. It could be traffic. No one really knows why we have helicopters, but there you go. Thanks, helicopter people. Could be a tour. So Marissa, who also lives in this geographical area, really tells us how, like, okay, this is the first thing she did. This is the second thing she did. This is the third thing she did, and how she regained her independence, or which, by the way, she never lost, because I do need you to know that if you're listening to this and you have kids, you actually still have your independence. It's how comfortable do you feel with integrating your kids into your independent life?
Yeah. Especially if you're alone a lot.
Yes.
It's difficult and scary. Yeah.
So. It is. It's very difficult, and people just assume, like, oh, I'm having twins. I'm trapped here forever.
Right.
It's easy to figure that out. Did you have that being in a house and, like, having, like, a car life? Did you feel stuck in?
Yeah. So when I had my kids, it was right before it started getting cold out. So, you know, they're born on Halloween. And so by the time we kind of had our act together and might have wanted to go someplace, it was like January.
Yeah.
So then that was like, forget it. I'm not going on walks around my neighborhood because there's just ice all over the sidewalks and people don't shovel. And it's just a hot mess. And then going anywhere, it was like I was going to work every day. And then when I came home, it was just getting them ready for bed and feeding them overnight and then repeat the next day. So, yeah. Like, no, I didn't really take them places. Because then on the weekends, it was me and Mike, and we were home together, and he doesn't like going places, so we never went places. And it wasn't until they were much older, I think they were like 5 or 6 months old, that I finally realized that I had never actually taken them anywhere by myself. And I think it was because the circumstance, like I always had Mike there with me, and you know, we would sometimes go places together, but then I always had him. So I never had to go by myself. And I finally realized, like, this is ridiculous. I've never actually taken my kids anywhere by myself. I'm just going to do it. And so I put them in the car and I threw the snap and go in the trunk and I drove to the library and I got the stroller out and I was literally like, okay, what do I do now? Okay. All right, let me walk over to this side. Okay, I got the seat. Okay, let me snap it in. Okay, is that good? Okay, now what do I do? Okay, let me walk to the other side of my minivan, right? And then once I actually got them all ready to go, and then it's like, okay, where's my diaper bag? Do I have my purse? What do I need? And it was like, oh my God, I'm doing it. I'm doing it. And then I got inside the library and it was like, oh my God, I'm in a place by myself with two babies. It was just so cool. It was just like, I did it. So I was really excited, but it took me so long to get to that point because I just never had a reason to go anywhere by myself. But then I was like, I should do this. I got over it.
Oh my God, it's so scary. And sometimes there's people who have kids that, you know, are, here come the helicopters again, and we'll just deal with it. But there are, you know, there's people who probably have, you know, kids that are 6 or 7 that might not even remember their first experience going outside because of, you know, either postpartum, you know, depression, anxiety. A lot of the times Mother Nature's like, we're just going to wash that out. So we're just going to forget that this time existed. And although I had very bad postpartum, I remember one. I don't remember my first walk, but I remember the first time I went out with them. The weirdest thing happened. And so like that's how I remember, because it was bizarre. So my husband is what you would call a sun sneezer.
Okay. You know, I can imagine like what this is.
Okay, so it's a thing. So when this direct sunlight hits my husband's face for the first time that day, he will have a sneezing fit.
That's amazing.
Google it right now. Watch. Google sun sneezer.
I believe
you're
going
to be shocked. So if you're a sun sneezer, then you understand. But people don't know, like, if you are not a sun sneezer, this is like, what kind of witchcraft is this? Like, why are you allergic to the sun? I don't know what it is or why, but I remember.
Well, I'm allergic to the sun, remember?
Yes, you literally are, though. That's different. Yes.
I have polymorphic light eruptions, but like it literally makes him sneeze. I think Mike has this too.
So when I left it with the first time with the kids, they were both in their car seats in the double snap and go. And we got to the front of the door. We have two doors. So we have like a main building door and then like an exterior door. I don't even know why it exists, but we have these two doors. And when their canopies were down, and so the very first door is full glass. And so the sun started streaming through as I'm pushing the kids out. And in total unison, these little teeny tiny babies started to sneeze.
That's cute.
And I said, they're totally his kids. They're literally
his kids. Well, now you know it's not the milkman.
Well, you know, when you have IVF, there's always like a little piece of me that always was like, I didn't have any good eggs last time. Why all of a sudden when I have good eggs? Well, that's a whole different topic for a different day. I trusted my IVF clinic.
My embryos got mixed up in the IVF clinic.
Come on, like you haven't read that on Reddit 12,000 times. Please.
I actually really like Reddit.
That's my son's favorite website. And I'm like, you know, that's not fact though, buddy, right? Like you can't go to Reddit for historical accuracy.
Yeah, but there was in the news, but like that was a long time ago, of that kind of like mixing up of the sperm.
Yeah,
I don't think it
really happens. I didn't think that it happened. But
lawsuits.
But look at me, Jewel. Like if you look at my daughter, what are the odds? Yeah,
right.
No, it's kind of weird. My son, I knew was mine. That makes sense. My daughter, I have no idea what happened. It's like you paid extra for that, like for like a designer embryo, is what she is. Sadly, she knows that.
Are those ones that Beyonce had?
I wonder. She freaking shut down the whole floor of our hospital here when I had moms that were delivering at that hospital at the same time that she was, and they ushered my moms to different sections of the hospital. I want to just say, I'm not a fan of that. I understand, but she should have went to like a more pinkies up hospital. That's not like the most pinkies up in our city.
They were in the NICU for a little while, right?
They were, but they freaking shut down the whole floor. That was ridiculous. That was ridiculous. I'm sorry. I apologize, Beyonce and Jay-Z, on the wonderful birth of your 20s, but you alienated my students. Anyway. Yeah.
I wonder, like, who was in the NICU at the same time as her babies, and do we have any stories out there?
I
want to know if people saw them in the NICU.
I don't know. I don't even ask. I was just irritated by the whole thing. I just pretended it didn't exist. Okay, so we're talking to Marissa, and she's going to tell us about her baby steps to independence. And it's a very gentle process that I think a lot of people could learn from. So maybe that's what we title it.
This is titled The Podcast I Wish I Had Listened To Before We Started Making a Podcast.
Totally.
Yes. When my babies were little.
Yes, this is it. All right, are you ready to meet Marissa?
Yes.
All right, girl, here she is. Everybody, meet my friend Marissa. Today is a hot topic. It is, I actually can't believe that we don't write about this more at Twiniversity. And because of Marissa, we are going to write about this more, because Marissa is not the only one that went through what she went through. So today we're talking about, I'm afraid to leave my house with the twinnies. And you guys know that after your 20s are here, and you know, whether you had an easy pregnancy or a difficult pregnancy, once they're here, your whole world changes. Your personality somewhat changes. Your instincts somewhat change. And everything kind of pivots. And we could sit here at Twiniversity and prepare you till next week, but nothing really could compare to you actually experiencing it. And so many parents, especially when I speak to parents that, you know, we're in that first week and maybe they're starting to breastfeed, I often hear like, you know, it's really difficult. And I'm like, okay, you know, don't get too nervous. But as time progresses, for some parents, it just doesn't get easy. And one of the things I always ask newer parents is, when was the last time you went outside? And so I'm asking for a few reasons. I'm always asking because, you know, how comfortable are they being a new parent? I know that here where I am geographically in New York City, a lot of us are vitamin D deficient because we don't get out enough. I imagine this is going to be a problem that, you know, the United States and other countries are going to have for years to come. But something so simple as going outside could lead to so much anxiety, confusion, fear, and every other emotion in between. And this is where our new friend Marissa comes into the story. Marissa, thank you for playing with us today.
Thank you so much for having me. I am so excited to be here.
Yay. Okay, well, I'm really excited that you're here. So for you guys, just so you know, if you ever want to be a guest on our podcast, we have like a form up on our website. And we get some very interesting people who want to come on, a lot of people that have nothing to do with twins and just want to promote, you know, a new baby spoon that they have. But when Marissa wrote in and she told us about her journey of baby steps, it was something that I know you guys have to learn. So Marissa, tell us a little bit about the early stages. You went pretty far in your pregnancy with your dudes, which I'm so excited about. People love to hear that. But how was that early stage? And when did you start shifting the way that you did things?
Yeah, so when I first gave birth to my babies, I was induced at 37 weeks, one day. It was a really long experience. I was actually in the hospital for 4 days trying to get induced. It just wasn't happening. So I was frustrated and uncomfortable. I finally had them. It was beautiful. Vaginal birth, no complications, both babies head down, exactly what everyone hopes with twins. And then the next 2 months are really about survival. And I went from being a pregnant woman who had slept 10 hours a night with a 2-hour nap during the day, to sleeping 4 hours a night if I was lucky. And my husband didn't need any help during his shift. And I just people are not meant to sleep that little. It's just a period where we just had to get through it. Mm-hmm. I was emotional all the time. I was constantly crying. I was missing the freedom that I used to have and the ease of my old life. And I missed really feeling relaxed in my own apartment. You know, that was like a big thing for me coming home and remembering how I'm supposed to feel in a place, mm-hmm. just not feeling that way and just feeling overwhelmed, like a baby's going to wake up any minute. And that was really hard. And the emotions were really hard for me because I'd never struggled with my mental health in the past. I'm a school counselor. So mental health is kind of what I do. And it's, you know, the way that people perceive me as being, you know, put together. And when my husband was ready to go back for, to work, he'd been on paternity leave for about 2 weeks. And then he had to, work 1 week remote. And then he was back. And the remote week gave me this overwhelming sense of dread because I realized that I'm not going to have nearly the amount of help that I should. And we have wonderful families that are very close by to us. You know, my in-laws were over every single day. My parents were over every single day that they could be over. We really had all of the help in the world. And they weren't overbearing. It was just still so overwhelming. I always wanted to be a mother. So I felt really guilty when I got to this stage of my life and it just wasn't what I expected it to feel like. It wasn't that, you know, I wasn't a natural at it mm-hmm. the way that I thought I was. And I just felt chained to my apartment, dependent on my family and my in-laws. I couldn't even shower alone. And anyone who has stayed at home with their twins alone for even a few hours will understand that even when they get easier and they'll sit for a little bit, you have to entertain them. So it feels like you're hosting a party for 14 hours. Like you're going around, is everyone fed? Does anyone need anything? I'm going to go do this thing over here. It's just insane. And by the end of the day, even after a few hours, you are exhausted. So at a certain point, this was actually still when my in-laws were coming over. I decided that I was getting out of the house as soon as I could. So I decided that I was going to start with going on walks with them. And I was so nervous. We packed a full diaper bag. We packed Binkies, bottles, everything that you can imagine. And I only used the Binkies, really. It went great. You know, they slept the entire time. They were probably only a few weeks at that point. And I felt great. I finally felt like I had a little bit of freedom. Like I could leave the house if I wanted to. And I didn't need to rely on other people to come over and help me. That's when I started to find Twiniversity and I found this community of people that I didn't have around me. You know, I had a couple of Facebook Aww. Friends that have twins, but it's not, I felt like I had people who got it and that understood what I was going through. So that was a huge morale boost for me. Eventually it got to the point where I needed to shower and I was by myself. So I decided, all right, I'm just going to do it. And they were about 2 months at this point. I tried it before that, but they screamed the whole time. It wasn't even worth it. But this time I brought them in the shower, like in the bathroom with me, had them in their car seats on the floor and it went great. They showered, they let me get dressed as long as I was talking to them and, you know, singing to them, doing whatever it takes to keep them entertained. So that was another realization moment because it made me get to the point where I didn't feel like I needed to wait for people to do basic tasks mm-hmm. by myself, you know, and if they cry for a little bit, they cry for a little bit and it's okay. And I guess the next step of it was taking them out for car rides. So I had to pick up some formula. So I was going over to BJ's and I asked my sister-in-law to come with me. And I'm thinking she'll sit in the car with the boys. I'll run in, grab the stuff I need and get out. But when she came over, she asked if we were bringing the stroller in. So I decided, you know what, why not? Let's give it a shot, see how it goes. Their car seats connect right into the stroller. They'll probably not even wake up. And they didn't. It went great. They actually did. They woke up once in the store, but we, you know, gave them a Binky. They were fine. and they slept the whole ride there and the whole ride home. So that was huge too. I didn't use any of the things that I brought with me, like when I first went out for that walk, but I was able to drive 15 minutes away to a store, grab something, and then drive home without them screaming. And that was so exciting. So that trip got me more excited, and I decided, all right, I'm gonna see how it goes with me grocery shopping with them. And this is the big thing, because it's very difficult to have a lot of space for groceries when you have two little ones. So I decided that I was going to strap reusable grocery bags to my stroller. My diaper bag came with these almost like carabiner clips. So I strung that through the reusable bag loops, and I just hooked it to the stroller handlebar. And it started with me just grabbing a few things at the store, which was 5 minutes away, and that went great. So then I started doing kind of our, you know, shopping all the time. So I would go to different grocery stores. This was me just trying to get an excuse to get out of the house with these boys. So this is what I would do when they were, you know, crying and I couldn't get them to calm down. So it turned from something that I would do if they were in a really great mood to something that I would do if they were not in a great mood and I needed them to be. So I took them to stores. I took them grocery shopping. If they had different deals at different grocery stores, I would go to one on Monday, one on Wednesday. Like, and it was great. You know, by the end of it, I'm strapping four reusable bags to my stroller, and then I'm balancing a case of seltzer on my forearms as I push it. Like, I just felt, you know, you kind of feel like a boss when you do these things, and you feel powerful and you feel like you have freedom. And people would come up to me and say, I don't know how you do it. And I said, this is how I survive. You know, this is the only way that I'm able to get through the day is by having this freedom. So that kind of brought me to taking them for longer drives. So that's kind of where that started. And then at a certain point, when I was on my walks with them, I would still take them out for an hour walk every single day. At a certain point, I ran out of Twiniversities and I needed something different. So my husband, it recommended that I listen to this podcast, Choose FI, which is, it's a financial podcast, which isn't really my thing, but you know, he really wanted me to get on board with this. He created his own blog, frugaljohn.com. And he really, really wanted me to get on board with this idea of financial independence. So a couple episodes in, they were talking about this concept that really connected with me. And it's this idea of what if you had to, which it, the whole idea is that people let small things get in the way of them accomplishing their dreams and their goals for themselves. And I really took this to heart, and I thought about the things in my life that I said that I really wanted to do, but that I couldn't do because I had these twins. So, you know, I started to do things like that, that I really wanted to, but I just hadn't gotten around to it because I was using my boys as an excuse not to. So one thing that I wanted to do was walk them to daily mass, just as another way to get out. I'm Catholic, so we wanted to I wanted to get myself there just while I had the time off and I wasn't working with a schedule. I wanted to get there. So I would walk them. It was probably about a 15 to 20 minute walk to the church, which we were going to do an hour walk anyway. So 15 to 20 minutes there and back isn't a big deal. My boys always wake up during the mass. So I would hold them, you know, keep them occupied. And that way, when it was time to drive home, they were fine with being put back in their car seat. So I tried that a couple of times. My mother-in-law was there once in a while, but I really wanted to get to the point where I could do it alone. So I did that and it went great. So I kind of went crazy at this point. And I thought about all of the things that I wanted to do that we just never did. One was weekend trips. So one of our first trips with them, we actually took this past August, we went to Martha's Vineyard. So his grandparents have a house there, and that was something we knew we were going to do, but you know, it's always nerve wracking bringing kids places, especially in a house where, you know, there's other people and you don't want to wake other people up. My boys still don't sleep through the night at 6 months old. So we're working on it, but the trip was really fun. It was different and it took some planning and it took more carrying of the, you know, we had more things to pack, but it was fun. And it was a switch up from the routine that we typically do. Another thing that we wanted to do was go out to breakfast. So we brought the boys one day and we sat outside and the boys just watched the flags blow in the wind for half an hour while we ate breakfast. So yeah, it's just little changes like that, that just, they've made the biggest difference. And lastly, two of the things that we really wanted to do that, we'd been trying to plan for a while now is, our belated wedding reception. So we got engaged in 2018 and had a 2-year engagement, bringing us to 2020. I was devastated when my wedding got postponed and then I had to cancel the reception, but we ended up having it in the beginning of this month. So it was so much fun and we got a babysitter for the boys. We got to stay as late as we wanted and we got to celebrate with our family and friends. And our honeymoon after we got married, we had to switch it up a little bit. We had planned this awesome trip to Hawaii and it was going to be this vacation of a lifetime. And that just didn't happen. Hawaii was, you know, understandably strict about, you know, restrictions and people coming in. But now what we're doing is I just couldn't let go of that idea. And I was really sad that it never happened. So we're actually planning it for 2 years from now with the boys. And it's scary, the idea of them being on a plane for that long, but at the same time, I'm not willing to let this go clearly. So, you know, it's going to be different. It's not going to be the same trip that we planned, but it's going to include our whole family. And I think that in different ways, it's going to be really, really special.
I'm so excited. I don't know where, I don't even know where I'm more excited. I want to know what was that day like when you took a shower with them there. So when you first had that first, like, I can do this, like, did you plan it out? Did you just say, I'm just doing this, I'm not even going to think about it? Like, are you somebody who jumps into action or are you like, no, I'm going to, you know, be so calculated, like a military, you know, decision here, and this is what we're doing. How did that work for that very first shower that you're like, okay, I'm just going to do it?
So that was, I had been expecting someone at a certain time to come and like save me basically so that I could go take a shower. And they didn't come at that time and I hadn't heard from them. Mm-hmm. So I was getting like kind of ramped up because I was expecting to take my shower at this time. And I was expecting to only have to watch the boys for this much longer. And it's, you know, it's tough when you're expecting someone to be there at a certain time to help like relieve some of the weight of, you know, the babies and their attention, and you have to be on all the time. So when that didn't happen exactly when I wanted it to, I said, forget it. I'm going to do it myself. You know, cause I can't expect everyone to be there and exactly on time all the time. So yeah. I said, if I have a problem with this, I'm going to figure it out. yeah. So that's kind of the whole idea of what if you had to, you know, what if I had to take a shower and nobody was there, you know, what would happen? What are the worst things that could happen? And, you know, then what would happen? And kind of getting over those small things, you know, well, they'll cry. Okay. Yeah. And then what? And then, you know, I'll be more prepared to help them when I'm feeling better and more myself. So, you know, that's that the whole idea of it was just huge for me, you know, in regards to the trip to Hawaii. I'm thinking about it as, you know, what if my sister was getting married? I'd figure it out.
Yeah.
I'd figure out a way to get there. So it was just revolutionary for me. You know, in feeling all of this, really feeling lost after having these boys, in certain ways. So it was huge.
Now, you said that when you were pregnant, that like your home was like your sanctuary, right? Like that was your spot. And now you had this infestation of twinnies that come and take over, you know, their gear, them, the visitors, everything. What was the adjustment like when you kind of just accepted that this is your home now?
Yeah. I think that that's something that kind of happened gradually over time. I think that in some ways it's still hard to not quite have the freedom that I used to have with my time. And that's something that takes a while. And I think I'm still working on that. Mm-hmm. I think that I like my standard of the way my house looks has definitely changed a little bit. I still am someone who likes things tidier, but you know, there's piles of clothes here and there sometimes. And, you know, that's something that we deal with it when we have to, or, you know, my husband's probably going to say, you know, oh, you really made yourself sound good on that podcast. But I do sometimes get stressed about it still, because that's just the way that I was raised. But yeah,
there's a lot of things. There's different things that everybody lets go.
Right.
It really depends on your comfort level. There's people who literally let everything go. Mm-hmm. And just like, welcome to chaos. I am not, you know, the dishes are going to stay there until somebody could help me with them, because right. Everybody has a different focus. And it is like, you know, if you, let's say you didn't have help, it's really tough to think that you could do everything if you didn't have people coming to save the day, at least every once in a while.
Absolutely.
So everybody's got their own thing. So don't ever like worry about what you're letting go. I'm telling you now, 16 years later, there's things that I let go. This is going to sound horrible, and feel free to judge me. I no longer put clothes in drawers. They're neatly organized on top of the dresser so that I can grab and go. Why is that? Why am I still doing that? I have plenty of time to put clothes away. I just am like, nah, this is my system now. It's neat. It's organized. I could literally find things in the dark. I could tell you where my underwear are with no problem.
Right.
But it's just one of the things we gave up when the 20s were little, and it just didn't need to come back. But you'll see too. And it's going to, you know, honestly, it's going to evolve a million times over. And this trip to Hawaii could be the beginning of you guys buying a boat and living on it full time. You never know. You never know what's happening. By the way, there's a twin family that literally does that. And so knowing that families exist like that, it kind of gives you, you know, like, oh my God, I'm not going to live on a boat, but maybe I could do this. I think it's wonderful that you're making the 20s fit into your life instead of figuring out how to change your life to fit the 20s.
Right. And I think, you know, there are definitely sacrifices that come along with being a parent. You know, if it were that easy, everybody would probably do it, you know? But it doesn't need to get in the way of your goals for yourself either, which was something that was so exciting for me when I realized that my life and my adventures were not over.
Yeah.
So that was huge for me.
It's fantastic. It's just a different adventure, you know, and it makes it very different. And even if you and your husband have done something like going to breakfast 900 times before, when you involve your two new people, it just changes everything. And also I'm going to tell you one of the things that I hope you've thought about, but things get so much more exciting as they get bigger, because when you go to a park that you've been visiting since you're a little girl, or going to your parents' house, that's like, oh, this is my room, who cares? When you see it through the eyes of your 20s, it's a totally new awesomeness.
Absolutely.
Oh my gosh. It's so much fun. Like silly things, like where I'm a big Disney person and I was like, oh, how many times could you go? But when you go with the kids, it's just weird. It's weird and wonderful. And I love that you really embraced it and you really went all in. You jumped. You're like, this is what's happening. We're going to church. Get over it, babies. We're doing it. Now, I don't even know how to say this, but like, if there's somebody that's the you of pregnancy, right? Where does somebody start? Like, is this a mindset that you start thinking about when you're pregnant, or is it really something you have to experience firsthand once they're here?
I think it's a little bit of both, because I think that it is a mindset thing. And at the same time, when your twins get here, everybody's twins are different. Mm-hmm. Twins are going to hate their car seats and they're going to hate the car. And their part of, you know, getting worried isn't going to be when you get there. It might be the car ride and whether the car ride is worth it to them mentally to get through in order to get to the experience part of it. So I think it really depends on both of those things. But I think if you have the mindset, you're going to be more resilient mm-hmm. as a twin mom.
I think it's really fascinating. And I think about all the time that a lot of times people pull strength from previous generations. And I try to remind people in class, especially like when they're talking about gear and we're talking about strollers, it's like, think your grandmother didn't have any of this.
Right.
You know, she had a drawer that was empty and she couldn't have another baby until that drawer was empty. That's basically the birth control situation, right? Yeah. Is the drawer empty? Okay, we could have more kids. Mm-hmm. It puts things into perspective in that what if you had to? I guess the big thing is so many people don't feel like they have to. And yeah. so they're like, okay, I'm a twin parent. I guess I don't have to go to church. I guess I don't have to do the grocery shopping with the twinnies. And if you just change your mindset, like I have no choice. I have to take a shower. Nobody's coming to save me. That's mm-hmm. when the genius kind of gets turned on and
right.
you just do it. And then I love it too, that you said when people are like, how do you do it? Right. And I think this is something that every twin parent is going to relate to, because everybody is going to get asked at least once in their twin parenting adventure, how do you do it? Mm-hmm. And everybody's going to have a different answer. My answer was like, I have no idea. I don't know how I do it. I literally don't know what I'm doing right now. Mm-hmm. Like I'm just trying to get home, or I'm trying to finish my shopping. And for my personal grocery shopping, my stroller didn't fit down the aisle.
Mm-hmm.
So I would have to leave it at the end of the aisle and supermarket sweep it. So I would leave them at the edge and then run and get what I needed. Welcome to New York City. It's one of the best parts of our tiny, tiny supermarkets, but you had to, right? Because then what are you going to do if you can't? I love that. I want to listen to that podcast too. I'm very, very excited about that. Now, besides Hawaii, what are like the next steps that you want to take? Because I don't think anybody's jumping on, you know, an 11-hour plane ride. Although I will tell you, when I have my families that are having their babies via surrogate in another state, they don't hesitate to get back to where they are.
Yep.
And that's because they have to.
Mm-hmm.
And so I always think about that. Everybody's like, should I fly? I'm like, do you have to? Yeah, you fly. What are you going to do?
Right. Yeah. So we are actually taking the boys to Disney with my husband and his family in February of this year. So obviously that comes with some nerves of, you know, them, they'll be probably almost a year at that point. So we are, they're going to be moving very soon. You can just kind of tell at this point. So they're going to be wiggly. Luckily my husband is from a very large family, so we will have a lot of helpers.
Perfect.
Mm-hmm.
Perfect. Yeah. Perfect. Do you find that one of your dudes kind of wears the pants in that family? Do you find like if one starts crying, the other one's immediately going to start crying?
It kind of depends. It really depends on the day. I think the only thing that I'm sure about right now with like their personalities is that one of my guys, Leo, he's my needy one. He needs snuggles. He needs attention. At 2 months old, you would look at the other twin and you'd look back at Leo and he'd have a big pout on his face. He wasn't crying. You know, he was just feeling his emotions. And my other guy, he's a little harder to read right now. But I think he's going to be kind of our mover. He's going to be kind of all over the place. As for like who wears the pants, I feel like they kind of go back and forth, but right now they're both taking toys back and forth from each other. So we'll see what becomes of that. But yeah.
I think that it's really amazing how brave you are. And so when we started talking, you and I, before we started taping, I said that we didn't know what we wanted to title this. And I have literally like baby steps to normalcy, being brave enough to live. Like, I can't even tell you finding the courage to go day to day with your twins. Marissa, honestly, it was hilarious. I've never had such a struggle with trying to figure out what we could do because you did it, but you're also in the very early stages. So mm-hmm. it's easy to do things now-ish, but the best part about it is if you get them used to doing these things, it will always stay easy.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So that's what like the win is, because some people would be like, oh my God, her babies are so little. I'm telling you, it doesn't matter. That first step is always difficult, whether they're a few weeks old or a few months old. It's really challenging to do those hard tasks initially. But the more you get the kids used to, like you said, like if they don't want to be in their car seat, if it was just the fact they have to be in their car seat, this is just the way that it goes. They often get acclimated to just accepting that this is the way it's got to go.
Sure. Yeah.
I love that about you guys. Now, when you do pack stuff, are there emergency things that you always have? Like, do you keep extra stuff in your car? So if you're going from store to store, you know, you could do a quick diaper change or a quick feed on the fly. Like, what are your must-haves when living your regular life with your 20s on the go?
So I always bring the diaper bag, which we do. We have bottles in there. We have a burp rag, hopefully. you never really know where those burp rags end up. But we'll always have diapers, wipes, a changing pad. The changing pad's big because you can just change them on the grass somewhere, and that works out great. So we'll bring all of those things with us everywhere. Oh, changes of clothes are huge because you never know what's going to happen with their clothes. And we'll bring all of those things with their bag anywhere. We use binkies. We love binkies.
God bless those binkies.
Yeah. Oh, I don't know what I'd do without them. They're really, really helpful. So I'd say all of those things. Once they turned a couple months old, they started liking toys. So we always have, you know, a toy or two handy. Just sitting in their car seat with them. It doesn't always work. Sometimes they scream in the back seat still, even if you have all of these things. But that is good. We also went to New Hampshire recently. So we're in Massachusetts, so that's a couple hours worth of a drive. And we planned it so that they were sleepy in the morning. So we drove up, we stopped after maybe an hour and a half to use the restroom. And we went to continue our drive, but the boys woke up at the rest stop. So I squeezed in between their car seats in the back of my Camry. And I just sat with them the rest of the way, and it was fine.
That's so perfect.
Yeah.
You just, what if you had to, there you go. You just
adapt. Yeah. And you know, I could have sat in the front if I wanted to, you know, potentially listen to crying, or I can sit in the back with them for that last half hour and, you know, try to stop that from happening. And it worked.
How do you find that just ripping off the Band-Aid and going back to like a real life has affected your husband? Do you think that he's more likely to do the same, or is he still kind of nervous about doing things?
So he definitely hasn't done as much alone as I have with the boys. Just because I had so much time on maternity leave, I was able to take a very long time with them because I'm a school counselor. So I started my maternity leave in March, and I didn't get back working until the end of August. So I had a very long time with them. I was very blessed. And it was just a lot of alone time.
Yeah.
So I would do whatever I could to get out of the house. And because he went back to work after a few weeks, he wasn't really, I don't know. He's adapted in some ways. One of our favorite things to do, and this is definitely very beginner level, bringing your twins out. But if one of us is showering and we don't want to feel like we have to take care of both boys, for, you know, the shower period, cause they're being kind of cranky. What we'll do is we'll take their bouncers and we'll bring them just out to the porch. And that's one of the only times where you're sitting still, where you don't have to entertain them.
Mm-hmm.
Looking around at everything, and they're so excited to be outside. And you can read, you can, like, he works on his blog outside, you know. That's just, it's this huge,
yeah,
this huge time to yourself that you just don't get elsewhere. So bringing them outside and just sitting with them, I'd say that's the first step as a new mom. And if they don't like to sit, you could always try a walk too. But I liked that because I actually had time to sit and work on something or read.
Yeah. And depending on where you are geographically, your weather could be perfect all year.
Right.
It's so, honestly, Marissa, it's so funny how people don't utilize their backyard when they're little. They just kind of see a backyard like, oh, they're going to play out there someday. But right. when I was talking to this mom the other day, who's up by you, coincidentally, I said to her, I was like, are you getting out? And she's like, no. And I was like, why don't you just go sit in the back? Like, you don't have to do it. And she's like, where are they going to sit? I said, put them in the stroller and just leave them in the backyard, sit next to them. Everybody absorbs some rays of sunshine and get some fresh air, but everybody needs fresh air.
Absolutely.
We had like that one period of weird rain over the summer. And I was like, please get outside with the babies. And she was so worried about it. I was like, but look, they're not going to get bitten by bugs. You could put the mosquito netting over the stroller. There's so many ways to think about it, but you really have to. And I love that you are just doing it. You're just freaking doing it.
I have to. I would have gone crazy if I had no way to. That was my escape, getting out of the house and doing something different. It shakes up their routine and it gets them in a different, it just makes them forget they were upset.
Yes. I hear you wholeheartedly. I think more people need to. I think that truthfully, it depends on where you are too. Sometimes if you do have to depend on a car exclusively, people get a lot more nervous because now it's like, I got my car seat. I got to throw the stroller in. But if you live someplace where you could walk in the street or you have sidewalks and you're safe to go out, you got to get out, but you have to. It's like such a must. And even if the park is a mile away and you could be like, oh my gosh, I got to walk a mile. It's the best, but it's going to be the best mile of your day. Well, 2 miles because you got to get home. But I love that you weren't afraid and that you were like, okay, here's my evolution. Here's my first step A, shower, step B, going outside, step C, grocery shopping, which is the best. And it's so entertaining.
Oh yeah. They love it.
And it kills time. I know that's horrible and people are going to judge me, but you have to do something because like you said, that you're hosting a party for 14 hours a day. That's a literal freaking quote from you. And it's so true. It's so true. I never thought about why you're so exhausted at the end of the day. All you did was be with the babies. But if you hosted a 14-hour party, you're going to be wiped out.
Yeah.
True. Mm-hmm. So true. That's that. I can't possibly thank you enough for playing with us. And I'm so excited to hear how Hawaii goes. And on our trip to Hawaii, I had a 2-year-old sitting behind me that pulled my hair the whole time. And the flight attendants just kept bringing me apple juice, as I'll say in air quotes. And I did not, they didn't know but they kept bringing me white wine. And they were like, do you need some more apple juice? I'm like, totally. I totally do. My husband slept the whole time. But this kid would pull my hair through the 2 chairs. Mm-hmm. And I'm just like, they're going home. You know, they're going to see their grandparents. They're going on a trip. Who cares? Right. My hair. What do you want to do? I'm going to watch Outlander. You're going to see some boobs. Get over it, kid. That's literally the way that I felt about it. Now I'm like, okay, it's a little kid. I feel less bad about watching weird things on an airplane. But it's don't be afraid to do things. And if somebody doesn't understand, you could just say, I'm sorry. We're just, you know, we're doing our best. But if you're doing it, I can't wait for you to go. Where are you going to go? What island?
I think we're going to go to the Big Island and Kauai.
I'm so excited. Okay, we have a lot of Twin University families in Hawaii. I don't know if you know that.
I do not.
We do, and we did some podcasts with some too. So yeah, so one, I love it. And it's such a different universe. It's like raising your twins on a separate planet. But they have that philosophy, what if you have to? Like, why are the kids in the ocean at, you know, 7 days old? How are those kids on a surfboard when they're 2 months old? But it's whatever. it's a very different mentality. And you already have that aloha spirit. I love it. I'm so excited. Marissa, thank you for chatting with us today.
Thank you so much. This podcast meant a whole lot to me. So I'm hoping that I was able to help out another mom today.
Oh my gosh. Well, I imagine that it's just my sister that listens. I didn't actually know anybody else was listening. So I feel better now that it's you. I'll know that it's you. So when I say, how are you today? Know that I'm talking to you, Marissa.
Okay. Sounds great.
Okay, guys. So listen, if there's one thing that Marissa gave us, it's inspiration. And it's also giving you confidence that, like, yes, I can really do this. Now, are you going to do as much as she did? I don't know. You might do more, but don't be afraid to kind of take that first step, because fear could paralyze us. And what's going to happen is if we don't take that first step, there will be no second, third, and fourth step. And these kids are part of your universe. We can't give them back. I mean, technically you can. There's those safe spaces at firehouses and stuff that you can, but I don't recommend it. I would keep the twins. They're really fantastic. And especially as they get older, they do things like empty the dishwasher. It's magnificent. Just get ready for the goodness. But don't be afraid to take that first step and just learn. If you're like, I can't do it, just say, what would Marissa do? And that's what you're going to do. So thank you so much for joining us today. And Marissa, in the future, when she's listening to this, thank you again for playing with us. And if you need anything from us, we are literally just a click away over at twiniversity.com. You could also send us an email anytime you like at community@twiniversity.com. And if you love this podcast like Marissa does, and you might too, I would be honored if you would give us a thumbs up, a subscribe, or review it wherever you're listening to this, because the more people that know about this podcast, the more inspiration we could kind of spread throughout this universe. So until next time, guys, I'll see you later, alligators. Thanks for listening.